As you may know, before a young man is ordained a priest at his diaconate ordination, he makes certain promises. And one of the promises that he makes is, one, to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. There are these five prayers that he has to pray every day, and they go in a cycle. And every year, around usually the fall, we have to read these letters that St. Augustine wrote to pastors. And in there, he talks about bad pastors. And he says that a bad pastor isn't necessarily the immoral one, though that person is a bad pastor. He said, a bad pastor is one who is unwilling to talk about difficult issues with the people that he's entrusted to. So as you may have seen in the bulletin that was mailed to you this weekend and also last weekend, Bishop Kagan has directed all the priests to preach on the difficult issue of pornography. These weekends are known as safe haven weekends. The purpose of this is to start a conversation within the house, to create the home as a place of safe haven in which ones may not fall into this problem. I don't think I need to convince anyone in here of why pornography is wrong or why it's bad. It's kind of a strange thing in our culture that every single person knows that it's bad, yet no one is really willing to talk about it. No one walks around with a t-shirt like their favorite sports team and advertising or boasting that they watch it. It's something that's just kind of swept under the rug. Everyone's kind of aware of it, but nobody wants to talk about it. Another temptation when thinking about it is the thought that this doesn't affect me, which, if it doesn't affect you, absolutely praise God. But we need to understand that we're in this culture together, and there have been 15 states that have declared it a health crisis, that this is a cultural problem, one within our family and our culture, and every single person is affected by it, even to a little degree. And we know the statistics show that it's a big part of the society. On average, kids are introduced to it by 8 years old. By the time they graduate, over 90% of students have been exposed to it. And the reason that we're speaking of this is the students say that only 75% of their parents have talked to them about it. So my hope in this is that if it is something in which we can speak about at Mass, hopefully this is a conversation which can be had at home, a place of trust, an environment of trust that parents with spouses, with their kids, are able to have this conversation. The problem of pornography is nothing new for a culture. It's been around as long as humans have had a sexual appetite. They have found clay pots that have pornographic images on them. But the way in which it's accessed has greatly changed just in the last 10 years. Before, you had to have a little bit of shame if you wanted to go to a movie theater, you wanted to go to a bookstore, you had to confront someone to pay something. And that shame that you would experience usually deterred most people from falling into it. But the culture has changed. Technology has changed. They call it the three A's now, that it's anonymous, it's affordable, and it's accessible. It's anonymous. No one ever knows. No one will ever know. You can seem like you have your entire life together. Yet the way that it affects the mind, doctors have seen, it's very similar to one on drugs, that it's an addiction. And that's the way that it needs to be treated, that it is anonymous. You may never know if someone is addicted to it, but it can be deeply affecting their lives. The other one, it's affordable, right? You don't have to pay. You don't have to confront the clerk if you want to purchase something. And the last one, it's accessible. I always thought, you know, if a parent would find a Playboy under their children's bed, they'd be a little scandalized, a little shocked. Yet now we have, almost all of us, iPhones. We have smartphones, which are 1,000 times more powerful than any Playboy. It's incredibly accessible. So what do we do about it? The first thing to understand is that these are good people. These are good people who may have fallen into this problem. That the issue of pornography does not discriminate. Old, young, men, women, it doesn't discriminate. These are good people. So if somebody ever comes up to you and they are able to entrust this with you, never to respond with disgust or shame, Imagine if somebody came to you and they were said, you know, I have a problem with alcohol. Can you help me? You wouldn't respond by saying, you're disgusting. You're a terrible person. No, you would say, what can I do? I will do anything to help you. So we need to get the shame out in order for this conversation to be able to have. So I gave us three things that we can do. The first is create an atmosphere in which this conversation can happen. Like I said, if we're able to have this conversation in church, hopefully it's one in which you're able to have at home. One between parents, one between a parent and a child. For a father and a mother to be able to show their kids that this is not something that young people do, not something that they want to fall into, but it's actually quite a problem. And hopefully they're able to see that it's really one of the most beautiful things between a husband and wife, something that's supposed to be shared between a husband and wife. So first, to start this conversation, create an atmosphere in which children are comfortable coming to their parents and parents are comfortable and able to have a conversation with their kids. The second is to make the home a safe place. Like I said, an iPhone is 1,000 times more powerful than anything 10 years ago. Most people just, you know, mistyping something on a Google search can come up with websites which they didn't even want to. So it'd be very, very practical to put up blocks, filters, parental guidance, monitoring devices on a phone. There is absolutely no shame in that. It is actually very, very smart, just in considering the amount of distraction that a phone can have, right? Just taking that distraction out of the way can greatly help someone make a more prudent decision. So if there is an ability to have an accountability partner, that is very, very big. One of my favorite saints, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, when he was writing these rules of prayer, he was giving these rules of prayer to his followers on if this happens to you, prayer, do this, watch out for this. And he wrote 14 rules. And rule 13 is one of my favorite. Saint Ignatius says that the devil likes to keep things in the dark. He likes to keep things hidden. His temptation is the idea that's put into your head of, I have this under control. I can do this. I can do this on my own. It's the thought of, I've fallen 100 times, but this 101st time is going to be different. I can will it. I'm strong enough now. That's the lie that the devil puts into your head. Saint Ignatius says he wants to keep it in the dark, but God wants things to be brought into the light. That it is when it is brought into the light that when these problems can be properly dealt with, when conversations can be had. If it is kept in the dark, chances are of it improving are very, very small. It's one of the most basic principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? That you can't will it on your own, that you need this accountability, you need this group. So the first thing, we need to start a conversation. We need to destigmatize the idea that this is, you know, bad people, that these are good people. We need to be aware of areas in which we can fall, such as computers, smartphones, and have no shame in being able to put blocks on it. And lastly, this is something which every single person can do. If you may be thinking this hasn't affected me, this is something which everyone can do. We can pray for each other. We can sacrifice for each other, right? Skip a meal. Say that I'm going to fast for someone who is addicted to pornography to try to give them freedom. Stay close to the confessional. And it's very, very important for someone who's in that state to understand that this is not how it has to be. There's great hope, there's freedom, and through a community we can help each other to help this crisis be eliminated. It doesn't have to be a part of our culture. We can see all human life is special, that the respect that a husband and wife have for each other is something that is unique, that needs to be shared between them. There's hope, there's freedom, and as we keep praying for each other, we can all experience great joy in this issue.